Revelation chapter number one. I never take it lightly whenever I get to stand behind this pulpit. I was thinking last night about how many times my uncle, which is one of my heroes, stood behind this pulpit. My papaw has stood behind this pulpit. I remember one memory of him that I hold dearly is papaw always saying during the invitation time. He would just over and over, God loves you, God loves you, God loves you, and it's just echoed through my mind. I'm thankful for my heritage. I'm sorry I get emotional whenever I talk about my papaw, but I'm thankful for my heritage. He always would send us birthday cards, him and Meemaw, and he would always write in it, he said, "We love you," in all caps. And always underneath it, "But Jesus loves you more." And he would make sure and underline Jesus. And I'm thankful for memories like that. I'm sentimental. I like thinking of things like that. I mean, even thinking of when he got done preaching, he'd call on someone to pray, and you'd hear him walk down the side aisle. Obviously, I wasn't thinking on the prayer. I was thinking Papaw's walking down the side aisle, getting his breath mint out of his pocket so he could go shake people's hands at the back of the church. And I'm just thankful for my heritage. I'm thankful. I'm thankful for many people in this church that stood according to the truth of the Word of God. I'm thankful that I can come back and I see familiar faces. I love the new faces, but I'm thankful for the familiar faces that I grew up with, that I saw all the time, men in this church that I look up to. And I see guys that were in high school whenever I was in elementary and junior high that are still serving here, and they got a bunch of kids running around everywhere and going crazy and things like that, and I love it. And I appreciate you guys. I appreciate you sticking to the stuff, and it's an encouragement to us out there, okay? It's just a blessing, because I know there's always a church in Jasonville, Indiana that's sticking to the stuff, and I'm just thankful for it. All right, I'm going to get into this. I'll quit talking about nonsense, and we'll get into this. So Revelation chapter number 1, we're going to read in verse number 17. I've been wrestling with what I was going to be preaching during this week. I had lunch with a pastor this last Friday, and then I told someone else this last Sunday that I was going to be preaching at my home church, and I'm excited about it, telling them about it, and they said, "Oh, what are you preaching on?" And I was like, "I don't know." So the Lord hasn't given me peace about it yet. And he went, "Oh, okay, all right." And I said, "Yeah, that's why I'm nervous." So I'm thankful. Lord, I think this is what he said settled me on, and I'm looking forward to it. I hope it's a blessing to you. Revelation chapter number 1, verse number 17, the Bible says, "And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death." Let's pray. Dear Jesus, I want to thank you for this day, Lord. I want to thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to stand behind this pulpit and, Lord, to preach the Word of God. I don't take it lightly. And, Lord, I just ask that you fill me with your Holy Spirit power right now. And, Lord, just give me the words to say. And, Lord, Brother Reiser is going to be coming up and preaching afterwards. And, Lord, I just ask that you would help him, Lord, as he'll be bringing his message. And, Lord, I love you. Thank you for how good you are to his name. I pray. Amen. I want to ask you a question tonight. I want you to do a bit of a self-examination. I want you to meditate on this thought as I bring this message tonight. The title for tonight and the question I have to for you tonight is, who is God to you? Who is God to you? I want you to think on that. I'm going to start off the message, and we're going to just go through some characteristics, some attributes of God, who God is from the Word of God. Now, the beautiful thing about this question is, no matter who God is in your mind, he doesn't change from what he says in his Word. That's the beautiful thing about it. But I want you to meditate on that thought, who is God to you? I think whenever I think of God Almighty, of course, it says in Psalms 119, verse 89, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." I think of God as the creator. In Colossians chapter number 1, verse number 16, it says, "For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. Hebrews 3:4 says, "For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God." Romans 11:36, "For of him and through him and to him are all things. To whom be glory forever. Amen." I'm thankful that God is the creator. I want to remind myself all the time that God created me. God created you. God has a purpose for you. God knows where you're at. He knows what you deal with, and he created you for a purpose, and he put you in the exact place that you're at for a purpose. God created you. I think of next, God is love, and I'm not going to dwell on this one super long because I don't want you to think I'm going Joel Osteen on you or something like that with a big smile on my face, okay? But God is love. 1 John 4:8 says, "He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." Romans 5:8, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." I think of the most ultimate time that God loved us was him dying for us. I think of August 17th, 1997, whenever I knelt down at a couch with my dad and I called on Jesus Christ to save me. What a day. What a day. February 20th was when I was born, but August 17th is a lot more important. That's when I was born again. That was the most important day. I think of how much God loves me. God is love, and he does love us. Lamentations chapter number 3, 22 through 23 says, "It is the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." What a God we serve. God is love. I think of next, we have a God of judgment. A lot of times we don't want to think about this one. A lot of times we don't want to think of God as one of judgment, or one that looks down on us, and he looks at us in that way. Galatians 6:7 through 9 says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Pastor Allison quotes that verse to me often whenever I visit him in his office asking advice or things like that. He said, that's the verse of the ministry. So that's the verse of the ministry. "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." But I want you to think on the fact that we have a God of judgment. You know, my God's the one that flooded the whole earth in Genesis chapter number 7. You know, my God's the one that kept a whole generation from a promised land. In Joshua chapter number 5 and verse 6, it says, "For the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness, till all the people that were men of war, which came out of Egypt, were consumed because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord." You know, my God's the one that 36 men died at Ai because of sin in Joshua chapter number 7. You know, Saul was removed from king for disobeying God in 1 Samuel chapter number 15. You know, Israel was defeated by Babylon because of sin and disobedience. And it was foretold in Jeremiah 25. Ananias and Sapphira were killed when lying together about a price for a land in Acts chapter number 5. You know, Jesus ran people out of the temple for abusing the house of the Lord. He made a scourge and ran them out of there. Man, I wish I could have seen that. That's so cool. How cool would that have been? That would have been awesome to just see Jesus Christ running someone out of the temple, man. It's like, let's join him. Come on, that's great. And you know, all those that don't believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ will spend an eternity in hell. You know, that's not the most comfortable thing to talk about. That's not the most comfortable thing to say, but that's my God. Whose God do you? Is he just a God of love? You float around with just flowers and everything's all hunky-dory. Joel Osteen, God loves you. Who's God to you? I like this one. I threw this one in there just because this is great. He's a God of war. And I'm not talking about the video game. Exodus chapter number 15, verse 3. "The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name." That's just a cool verse. You know, God is all-knowing. Proverbs chapter number 15, verse number 3, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good." Jeremiah 23, 24 says, "Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord?" Matthew 10, 30, "But the very hairs of your head are all numbered." You know, you might be able to hide from a spouse. You might be able to hide from an authority. You might be able to hide from pastor. You might be able to hide from your youth pastor. You might be able to hide from your teacher, but you do not hide from God. God knows everything. He's everywhere. He's in every place. Who's God to you? You know, God changes not. Hebrews 13, verse 8, and what a verse. What a verse. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Malachi 3, 6, for I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. God hasn't changed. He's still the same. No matter if it's Old Testament, New Testament, no matter who says what, or if someone tries to say God's different, God hasn't changed. You know, when I think of God Almighty, God is holy. 1 Samuel 2:2, it says, there is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. 1 Peter 1:16 says, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Psalms 96:9 says, O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. Isaiah 6:3, and one cried unto the another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. You know, I like how our pastor put it. Pastor Allison, he was preaching one Sunday and he said something like this. He said, you know, many Christians want to treat the word of God and God himself like a buffet. We treat it like an all-you-can-eat buffet. We go up there and say, ooh, this looks good. Here, I'll get some of that. And oh, man, that looks good. No, I don't think I want that. Oh, okay, this looks good. Yeah, let me put some of that. Nah, I don't think that doesn't taste very good to me. Who's God to you? Who's God to you? Are you treating God like it's an all-you-can-eat buffet and you can go up there and choose what you want and you can throw away anything else that you don't want and you can't really take? Who's God to you? Many times we want to put stipulations on God. God, I'll serve you, but... God, I can serve you if... God, you can have my kids, but... I haven't been in ministry very long. I'm not that old, but I've seen a lot of parents get in the way of their kids already. I've seen kids make decisions at camp and come back and mom and dad undo them. I've seen kids go and make a decision or feel like they're being led in a certain way and mom and dad say, whoa, 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 are you sure about that? Why don't you just let God have them? And you know, young person, who's God to you? Who's God to you? If God's calling you, if God wants you to do something, if God tells you to do something, then do it. Amen. On the topic of parents too, I'm a youth pastor. We deal with teenagers, but we deal with parents too. You know, parents, they don't need a friend, they need a parent. That's a little side note. I'm so sick and tired of dealing with a situation. Teenagers are easy to deal with, I think. It's sometimes the parents that are the rough ones that are hard to deal with, that just dealing with different things. They need you to be a parent. I'm thankful that man right over there was a parent to me. He's my best friend today, but he's a parent to me. He was hard on me. You know, he told me that, you know, you're not going to hang around that person. And he didn't care what that person thought about him saying, I'm not going to hang around him. Didn't hurt his feelings because I was his responsibility. And I'm thankful for it. I look back at things that my dad didn't let me do in different situations. And at the time, like any other teenager, I was like, oh, I don't understand why I can't do that. I don't understand why I can't be blah, 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 blah. But I look back on it today and I say, praise God. I'm so glad that he didn't let me do that. I'm so glad that I wasn't allowed to go there. I'm so thankful. I'm thankful for my dad. You know, we want to put stipulations on God. We want to say, I'll serve you, but I can serve you if this happens. I'll let you have my kids, God, if this happens. Who's God to you? If you find out who God is, I promise you won't struggle with your music. If you find out who God is, you won't struggle with your dress or God's commands or your communication or your relationship, husband to wife, wife to husband, your serving, loving one another, your hatred, your rebellion, your disobedience, your smoking, your drinking, what you watch, what you look at, your thinking. I don't care what it is. If you find out who God is and you let him be God in your life, you won't have trouble with it. Because God's holy and he means what he says. And he says, if you don't do this, this is going to happen. And if you do this, this is going to happen. And if we would just take God for who he is, we won't have trouble with it. Bible says in Romans chapter number 12, verse number 1, and this is a verse that all of us really, as soon as I say that and I start saying the verse, you'll probably have memorized. And I think sometimes we need to really think on a verse and what it says sometimes instead of just having it memorized and rattle it off. The Bible says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's my reasonable service to serve him because he died for me. It's my reasonable service to serve him because he's God. I don't need any other reason. He's God. I don't need any other thing to tell me that I need to do this or that. He's God. Amen. Who's God to you? 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, verse number 17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You know, whenever we become saved and Christ is living inside you, you can do it. You can have the victory. You can conquer those sins. You can live for him. You know why? Because we're a new creature. Old things should be passed away. You know, young people, whenever you go out and about, someone should be able to look at you and say, you're a Christian. There's something different about you. You know, that goes for adults. That goes for all of us. When someone walks out from our conversation, from how we walk, how we talk, from how we dress, how we look, and everything should just scream out, I'm Christ. He owns me. He's in my life, and I'm not ashamed of it. Who is God to you? You want to know how to know the God of the Bible? Read it. Psalms 119, verse number 18 says, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. John chapter number 1, verses 1 and 2 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. You jump down to verse number 14, it says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You want to know who God is? Read his word. Who's God to you? You know, next, we need to live like he watches and knows everything we do. You know why? Because he does. Proverbs chapter number 15, verse number 3, I just read that just a minute ago, but it says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Turn your Bibles to Romans chapter number 3. Romans chapter number 3. The Bible says in some familiar verses right here, it says verse number 10, Romans chapter number 3, verse number 10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way, they are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre, with their tongue they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. The way of peace have they not known. You know, that sounds like some pretty depressing crowd to be a part of. But I want you to look at the next verse, number 18. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Who's God to you? We need to get the fear of God back in our lives. You know, it'll help you. I'm not talking about on Sunday. I'm not talking about just on Wednesday. I'm talking about on Monday. I'm talking about in the workplace. I'm talking about when you're by yourself. I'm talking about when no one else is watching. I'm talking about whenever you're out and about, if you're at the mall or if you're at the grocery store. I'm talking about, do you have a fear of God? Do you look at him and say, who is God to you? Do you look at him like he really is? Not something that we've made up in our mind. Not something that we've treated like a buffet and said, yeah, I want to take this and I want to take this and I want this. Ooh, that's a little tough. So I don't know if I can quite do that, God. I don't know if I can quite do that thing, God. Who is God to you? You know, tonight, why don't we just get right with him? Tonight, why don't we just get rid of that secret sin? Tonight, why don't we get rid of that bitterness or surrender? Why don't you give your kids to him? Why don't you give yourself to him? Why don't you give your relationship to him? Why don't you give him control? Teenagers, children, get rid of that disobedience. Get rid of the rebellion. Get rid of anything else that's there. Who is God to you? Let's start living and serving God for who he really is. I want you to think on that. Who's God to you? Who's God to you? Because he says who he is in his word. Let's make sure that that's who he is to us. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, I want to thank you for this day. Lord, I want to thank you for the opportunity to be able to stand behind this pulpit. And Lord, I just thank you, Lord, for how good you are to us. God, help me in my own life, Lord. As I was preparing this, Lord, I know there's things that I needed to work on in my own life. And God, I just ask that you'd help us as a whole, Lord, to really look at you for who you are. God, I love you. Thank you. Bless the rest of this night. In name I pray. Amen.